David Lee Roth, umeme wa juu, Radio Roth. Club Dave, kuna nyesha tukikuambia kuna nyesha. David Lee Roth, high speed radio, Radio Roth. Club Dave, where it only rains when we say so.
Roth Radio, David Lee Roth, large and in charge, 866-313-3733. Everybody left the room. They're all eating soup over there. There's the fellow from the, well, it was the soup Nazi. Was that what it's called? It's the soup man, the world-renowned soup man, contributed breakfast here. Sitting over there in the room, everybody's bailing. That's the soup man over on 3rd and 45th, contributed a breakfast there. Johnny Damon. That's a very special visit, huh?
Cool guy.
Oh, totally, because, you know, he hasn't been doing any press. He himself called up the show. He had his manager call up the show. Matt, what do you think?
I think it's a tough one. When you're an athlete, you got to get the money. It's tough because Boston's a great city and they loved him, but if they don't make the money, the life expectancy of a sports star is not very long. Is it 4 or 5 years?
Ouch! Tropical fish last longer than that. A relationship with a supermodel can potential... Well, not really. Not that long. A thing of beauty lasts about a three-day weekend, huh? So what do you think? Is he going to perform? He looks like he's determined, huh?
He looks fit.
He really looks like he's determined. I think that there's going to be a real interesting display here. How do you think the Boston fans are going to really take to this once the season kicks up?
That's a tough one, man. They are not going to be very forgiving of him.
Oh, man. You know, baseball is just like football. It's war without the death. But it's certainly going to creep up close to it, huh? You brought up earlier. You said, hey, if I bought the Johnny Damon jersey, etc., then what do you do with it now, right?
I guess you just draw pinstripes on it or something.
No, you don't draw pinstripes on it. It's like the James Frey novel. It's like the book that Oprah Winfrey was advertising. If he got the benefit from it, doesn't matter if he's still on the team, does it? Wise guy, I'm giving you a hard time. 866-313-3733. Give us a call. Talking about Johnny Damon, he's the former Red Sox, and he is now playing center field for the Yankees. Aren't they moving Yankee Stadium sometime soon? There's a big controversy about that.
I believe
now
they're building a new one.
Are they building a new one? What's the story? I can't hear you over there. Go ahead.
They got the plans all set up. We're supposed to open in 2009, but a lot of people in the Bronx now like protesting it. They don't want the whole stadium built.
Is that because of the they're just going to take up a public park or something like that?
Well, what they would potentially do is build a new Yankee Stadium, and then the old Yankee Stadium, they're going to knock down a couple of the tiers of seating. They use that for high school fields, and then additionally, they're going to build about 4 or 5 like public fields for the public to use for Little League, all that stuff. So it would really benefit the city, or the Bronx rather. But a lot of people in that area just don't really want it.
Okay, now is this going to change the way the entire stadium looks? Is that all going to be demolished, and this a new structure is going to replace it? Is that what the plan is?
The plan I saw is going to resemble, I think it was Ebbets Field somewhat, from Brooklyn Dodgers, where they used to play, the outside.
Old style?
Yeah, it's going to look a lot like 1920s era.
Okay, I'm down for that.
But the inside is going to have a little less seating, but more luxury boxes, a little more luxurious of a stadium, but the same dimensions in terms of the outfield and everything.
Okay, and they're going to have a place for Islamics to bow 4 times?
I guess so.
No, this is a true thing, right? This is now you got to have prayer places, don't you? When you build a new stadium, this was an issue about 6 months ago. Some guys were bowing either at Shea Stadium or Yankee Stadium, one of these places, and some people thought they were terrorists. You know, the jury's still out on that one. But now you got to play. Now you got to have a place to pray as part of our civic liberties. I'm curious if they're really going to change the way the Yankee Stadium looks. Are they going to move it to the side or whatever? Because somebody like Johnny Damon had that planted in his brain from the time he's a little kid. The way that stadium looks, the surrounding neighborhood, etc. And I'm wondering if that changes when you change the stadium. Are they going to change the inside? Are they going to move it like 6 feet to the right or something like that? What's going to go on?
You're talking about like the white fence around the top and all that stuff?
No, the stadium itself. You know, the way when I fly over it in the helicopter, it looks a certain way, just like every photograph you've ever seen.
The outside is going to look a lot different.
Okay.
It's going to look like it, like the old stadiums did in the early 1900s. In terms of the inside, the dimensions, the length, the outfield, all that stuff's going to be the same. Seating's going to be a little different just because they're taking, I think they're losing about 5,000 seats, but they're adding in a couple luxury boxes.
Okay, but the field is the same. It's exactly the same dimensions. They're not shifting over.
Right field's still 314, left field's still 385.
Okay, so then that plays. That works for me. That is still maintaining the history here. Did they ever approve the football stadium or whatever it was over by the river? They never got that going, right?
Westside's highway, right? Westside Stadium?
Yeah, that's correct.
No, one of the guys... political guys who works downtown, he vetoed it. Oh, he works up in Albany, rather, because he couldn't take away development from World Trade Center.
Ah.
So they actually just struck up a new deal, the Giants and the Jets, for a new stadium out by the Meadowlands.
Interesting. And they're building a NASCAR track out in New Jersey on the other side of the river, too, aren't
they? I
heard
that they were actually going to build something in Staten Island, a NASCAR track.
Yeah, I've flown over that as well. They have the area cleared for that. This is becoming entertainment city here, huh?
And I'm not sure what the status is, but I know Jay-Z's looking to move the Nets to Brooklyn, so they're going to develop that area.
Stop
too.
Right there. Jay-Z?
He's a part owner.
How much of a part? How it's like executive producer when you got nine
Sean's
names.
Sean's telling me half.
How much does he own? Half of
owner?
It?
Hey, he owns a big chunk.
How much does he own, Sean?
I'm pretty sure it's half.
50% of which team?
New Jersey Nets.
Wow. I wonder what kind of price goes on something like that. You have any idea? That's a multi-million dollar deal. And he wants to move him where?
Brooklyn. Brooklyn Nets. He wants to do it.
He wants to move him where he was from? Is that his place? What do you think? I can't read that. Read it to me, man.
Well, the original New York Nets were in the ABA, so he's thinking to move them back to New York, just like they were when Dr. J played for them.
Okay, but did he grow up in Brooklyn?
Yeah, he's from Brooklyn.
He's a native there. What part of Brooklyn do you know? I know it from riding the ambulance pretty frequently.
He's from Marcy.
I know exactly where the Marcy projects are. I know it real well. And he wants to put his baseball team right in that area there, huh?
I know the plans involved the MTA. They were going to build this huge complex. They were going to build housing, the stadium, a bunch of things. So it actually could be really good for Brooklyn. But that's the plan. It's not definite yet. Obviously, they're still in Jersey. This wouldn't happen for another couple of years.
When did Jay-Z get involved in professional sports? I recollect vaguely that this happened, and then it went away. 2-3 years ago?
Yeah, about 2-3 years ago,
something
I believe.
Like that.
And he's still involved. Is he dating Beyonce?
Oh, yeah.
This is a very busy guy. This is a lot of calories.
Well, he retired from rapping now.
Oh, nobody retires. Come on.
Technically retired. He still does, like, producing and all that stuff, but he's not putting out any more albums, right?
Yeah, he's producing and he's running his clothing line and he's finding more artists for president of Def Jam.
Stop right there. What is his clothing line? What is the name of Jay-Z's clothing line? Because we need to get free everything. I want it to go with
Rockaware.
Rockaware. Yeah. Okay, big shout out to Rockaware. They think line. I'm kidding. No, you do. Yeah. You gave a shout out. My sister said I want steak for breakfast on Friday. We gave a shout out and the Palm Restaurant showed up.
Yeah, that's a good one.
You
line.
Know, we got soup sitting over there. You know. Now we'll ask Varney for some sunglasses, and we got to get Rockaware. We'll have a Rockaware day, do you think?
Yeah.
Jay-Z is an upwardly mobile corporate interest here. This is fascinating. This is impressive. We need to get him on the phone. Guys in the back there, see if you can get Jay-Z as one of the guests coming up here in the next few days. He is the face of New York, huh? What has he produced recently? Do you know? Anything exciting? Do
we
know?
He's got his hand in the Kanye West album. He had his, that's the most recent, most popular one. I mean, because he signed Kanye West to Rockefeller Records, which is his record label.
So he's had Kanye's entire career?
Pretty much. Kanye produced a lot of beats for Jay-Z on his last album.
Gotcha.
And things like that.
Okay, so this is how Jay-Z can afford enough bling to keep Beyonce on his elbow here. Alberto, our fella in there was involved with the Black Album or something, wasn't he? Get him on in here. What was the Jay-Z project where he took the Beatles and mashed it up or whatever? What was that?
It was the Gray Album.
Were you involved in that? Do you know the routine there with Jay-Z's Black Album or the Gray Album? What is that called?
Well, the Gray Album was him and DJ Danger Mouse.
That's the one.
Danger Mouse,
yeah,
okay.
He's the one that produced the whole mashup thing between...
Explain what the mashup is for the fans who don't know exactly what that is.
All right, it's a little complicated, but usually my way was take a rock track, an instrumental track, and put rap vocals over it was the easiest way that you can do it. But there's mashups that have two rock tracks, like Green Day versus Oasis. That's a big one out in San Francisco.
I got you. Is there a title for that specifically?
That one, I know there is, but I'm not... totally sure. I think it's
Boulevard
of Broken Dreams, I think it's what it's called.
Okay.
Like,
I wonder if somebody's going to come up with a theme song for the Yankees here, because this is now a revitalization, you know, now that they're working on the stadium and now that they got these new kinds of guys here. What are you flashing me?
Do you have that Hendrix? You had a Hendrix mashup that I really liked. I wonder if you...
I'll have to dig around for that.
Dig around for that. It's good.
At any rate, let's see if we can get Jay-Z on the phone. Is he actually producing new stuff? Is he singing or anything, or is he just purely business now?
Well, supposedly he's retired now, but he's still doing shows. Like, he just had a show last year, like a big show that he did. He still does concerts. He does guest appearances on other people's albums.
Didn't he have a big fight with somebody backstage, a la Roth Hagar? There was a big dust-up between him and either The Game or...
R. Kelly.
Oh, there was a big scandal with that, and they stopped the tour halfway through, right?
Yeah.
Oh, this is so classic. This is like boxing or something. I had the same issues with Sammy Hagar when we were touring. You were on that tour, Brian.
Yeah.
You remember that? Ultimately, you know, there was so much animal. You were involved in that, too. Ultimately, they built a wooden wall in between the dressing rooms that would block the hallway. And every 10 minutes, we'd go over and kick the board really loud to upset the doggies on the other side like this. And
that
then
was
on,
my
and,
job.
Yeah, then in Halloween, I took onions and put a stick in each one and dipped them in caramel and set them next door. 866-313-3733. Looks like somebody wants to talk about the stadium, actually. Mike, talk to me. Roth Radio, you're good to go. You're on. Mike, you there?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Dave, how you doing?
I'm extraordinary this morning, my friend. What's cooking?
Great. Johnny Damon's move for Boston, New York. If it's anything like that interview, it's going to be a train wreck. What's up with that guy?
What do you mean a train wreck? In terms of the interview and in terms of the way I conducted the interview or some of the answers?
No, not at all. The way you conducted it is just...
Okay, stop right there, my friend, because there's some criteria you're not aware of. Johnny had a stuttering problem when he was a kid, okay? And that he would even think to come into the lion's den here, where I can speak in four languages faster than you can possibly dial a cell phone, is an act of strength on his part. It's also part of the reason that he doesn't do a whole lot of press around here. I can't hit a ball. He's not necessarily a public speaker. But together, I think we can make a lot of positive sense. Knowing that, how did you judge the interview, my friend?
Oh, he did great then. I wish that was something that... not to forewarn us about, but it was just tough getting through it. I just was yelling at the radio. But if I knew that, you know, not that it's a disability, but he did great otherwise, then I give him a mid pass.
You got to give him super props, man. You've heard some of the people who've passed through in this studio just in the last 4 weeks. The poor little gal who came in here yesterday was a professional radio personality, and she got flattened.
If it was like that, he definitely did well.
I gotta salute him. That was an act of strength to come into here, of all places. Figure out most morning shows, well, they talk a little bit like this. So, Johnny, God, it's just great to have you. And he can talk kind of about like this, too. But not here, my friend. This is Roth Radio. This is High Speed, Low Drag. And he called here. He had his manager call here because he knows we're going to give him a fair shake. I've got a checkered pass that'll equal any three baseball players. And I was very impressed that he would even try to stack up there. And with that kind of information in mind, I think you made the right judgment. Mark, talk to me about Yankee Stadium. 866-313-3733. You're on.
Yeah, they're gonna be putting it right next to where the stadium is in the Bronx, and the design of it is so that it looks like the old Yankee Stadium.
What do you mean they're gonna put it on the side, my friend?
There's a field that's next to Yankee Stadium that's not, I think it's like a public field or something like that.
So you're saying they're going to move the stadium over?
Yeah, they're going to move it like right next door, but it's still going to be in the same neighborhood.
Okay, well, my question then is, for somebody like Damon, who dreamt of this since he was a little kid, you want the Little Red Schoolhouse to look like the way it was. When you play Madison Square Garden as a musician, you want it to look the way you saw in all of the photographs, in all of those old videos, those old films and everything. If you go to the new one and they renamed it Staples, Colgate, Palmolive, American Airlines Stadium.
I was bummed that we played Universal Amphitheater instead of the Forum.
Yeah, exactly. Even the name has to be the same because you grow up looking to be a part of that. It should look the same, and I'm wondering how that's going to impact the players. You think this is going to change the way the players perceive it, or is it's New York and it's Yankee Stadium, even if it's 6 feet to the left? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, they're going to call it the same thing. It's going to look the way the stadium looks now, part of it, but another part of it is going to also resemble the way that it used to look. And as a fan, 100 years is a long time to have a stadium standing, so I'm totally for it, and I'm a diehard Yankee fan.
Okay, here we got a little more new info on the new stadium. Thanks for calling here. Roth Radio, I'm David Lee Roth. What you got there, brother?
Yeah, Dave, I'm looking at the some website right now. It's saying that it's going to open in April 2009. It's going to cost approximately $800 million.
Whoa! That's a weekend.
They're saying that they're going to build it to look the way Yankee Stadium did prior to renovation in the 1970s. It's going to seat about 51,800.
This is a major operation that they're getting. Oh, Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. Roth Family Vacation Christmas. First thing in the breakfast, 866-313-3733. We're talking about all the stadiums and everything that everybody's building here. New York is a place on fire. I was just watching Mayor Mike Bloomberg's State of the City address and whatever. And, you know, they're increasing the tourism and everything here. I see somebody brought up something that we haven't actually talked about, a soccer stadium. Are we even actually allowed to call it soccer? It's football.
It's football.
Well, yeah, to an entire generation, it's football here.
It's football, isn't it, mate?
Well, it is where you come from with that kind of an accent. But here I'm hesitant to even call it soccer. It's, what do you call it, proper football? As opposed to gridiron football?
Actually, they call it soccer in England, too, sometimes.
All right, come on, put on Alex here, number 13, Hutch, 866-313-3733. Alex, David Lee in charge, you're on.
Good morning, Mr. Diamond Dave.
Okay, what are you referring to as far as we need a new soccer stadium? How do you reflect on that?
I think it would address the desires of all the ethnic people that live in New York City that love the game of football, soccer. I being one of them, being from Argentina. I think. In fact, JC, if you can ask him, I believe he owns Arsenal in England. And why wouldn't he bring? Would he bring back the New York Cosmos?
Hold on a second. Who owns the Arsenal in England? I'm very familiar with that team, but who does?
Jay-Z, I understand, owns a part of that team.
Jay-Z owns a part of a soccer team in Arsenal? Arsenal is one of the most famous football teams. Oh, yeah. It's just north of London, is it?
Yeah, it's in North London, yeah.
There you go, and it's the red, they wear red socks.
Absolutely.
Actually, I have a friend over there who's had the exact same red socks that he's worn to every playoff game. He's never washed them. He's gone through haircuts and beards and mustaches. He's a writer for one of the rock magazines over there, and he was wearing these socks to one of the interviews, and I asked him because it looks like they were so filthy they would break. But I don't know that Jay-Z is actually an owner of that team. Does this show up on the internet or something there, Sean?
We're looking it up now, but he could easily be a part owner. Yeah, that's quite possible.
Why not? And your idea, my friend, is that he should bring that to the Brooklyn area?
Well, maybe in Queens, put up in Flushing Meadows, bring back the New York Cosmos. They used to be owned by the Warner Brothers. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Where did they used to play? Yeah. Where did they used to play?
Giant Stadium.
Okay, and what happened?
But they were always originally from New York City. They played out on Roosevelt Island.
Ah, so what happened? What happened in terms of Giant Stadium? Was it a popular game, or did they just not sell enough tickets?
They used to sell out all the time, but the fact was that the Cosmos was such a great team that the rest of the league sucked. And so there was, like, you know, no competition. But now, in fact, I work here in Newark, New Jersey. They're building a soccer stadium for the Metro Stars at Ryden Harrison.
Okay.
So they should put up a soccer team in New York City and make that rivalry, and it would be huge here.
That makes a good idea. And you reflected, too, on the diverse communities that are here. Down where I live, it's completely Spanish-speaking. Well, occasionally Hebrew. But beyond that, absolutely, soccer is the only thing that I see the kids playing in the pens down there. You have all those great, the playgrounds and whatever. All they're really doing is, kicking that ball around there. I think it's a really great game. And I'm curious as to why we don't have a specific soccer stadium there. Go ahead, brother.
You know, Dave, there's a reason that the Major League Soccer is competing with the NHL for the least appreciated sport.
Why is
in
that?
Because there's no contact. Because people don't want to see that. People want to watch football. People want to watch a 500-foot home run. They don't want to see, you know, 10 guys running up and down a field for a couple hours kicking a ball around.
Okay, so you want to see the fouls and the contact and people getting rolled.
You want to see contact. You want to see an exciting game. And, you know, I grew up playing soccer. I played ice hockey in high school.
How old are you now?
I'm 21.
Okay, so that is your generation.
Yeah, it's my generation. But you know what? Like, you don't want to see it.
Okay. Hutch, in terms of playing soccer in Europe, isn't it a much more violent game? Isn't it a lot crazier in the stands? Isn't it a lot noisier and tougher out on the fields? Or is that a misconception?
You're expanding the playing field there because, yeah, the soccer violence and the soccer fans in England are probably more colorful than what actually goes on the field.
Okay, but on the field, is it a more violent version of the game?
No, it's still it's a non-contact sport. It's not a violent game at all. There's a lot of skill involved, but it's a low-scoring game.
Ah.
And I find that here in the States, and I've been here 25 years now, that most of the popular games have high scores, and it's like the score bats to and fro very quickly. In England, you can sit around for, what, 2 45-minute halves of a game. That's an hour and a half.
Sure.
With, you know, a gap in between so they can go and get a drink or whatever.
Go get four or five.
And get one, and get one goal in the entire game.
It's like hockey.
It's like
the same kind of thing.
Like that. When that goal happens, it's a bigger deal.
Oh, that's a huge deal. Go ahead.
Well, that's one of the things they were trying to fix when they brought the NHL back this year was they had to increase scoring because, you know, people don't want to see the 1-0, 2-1 games. They want to see, you know, 7-5. They want to see lots of scoring because that's what hockey's all about. They wanted to bring the finesse back.
So this is a struggle for folks,
well,
huh?
Now it's doing great. Scoring's up and attendance is phenomenal at games.
Oh, I did a commercial, you know, for one of the hockey teams here. Yeah, and I remember. What is it, Gomez? When you get a Gomez on the ice, now you're an expanding team. Now you reflect the community here. Go ahead, Sean.
I looked up some stuff on Jay-Z. It says that he was considering owning or looking into owning the Arsenal. I haven't found whether he actually did it or not. But it also says that he is co-owner of a 40-40 club in the city, and he is co-owner of some sort of Scottish vodka or something.
Okay. Also, you know what? John Bon Jovi owns an arena football team or something like that.
Philadelphia Soul.
Okay. What is the Philadelphia Soul? Why is he involved in sports? What kind of a team is that? What sport is that?
Arena Football League.
Okay. And how often does arena football play? Is that frequent? Is that a popular sport?
It's a much faster game, and I think it's on a weekly basis.
Yeah, you're looking at, like, total scoring. You're looking at, like, 100 points a game between the two teams. It's only 50 yards. Everything's a lot faster pace. You know, it's kind of like hockey. You have the boards, so you can just start hitting people into there. So
sure.
It's really aggressive.
Yeah, you can kick off the wall. You know, it's not like a ball won't go out of bounds. You can kick off the wall.
This is interesting.
It's a harder, faster game, and it's a hard court, too.
I wonder how he got into the game, so to speak. That's an interesting call there. I wonder if he actually played as a kid or something like that.
I heard an interview of him the other day about it. And he's just a big fan.
He's just a fan.
He's just a fan.
Interesting. I wonder why we're building all these stadiums and stuff. Could we be heading up for the Olympics after the next one? Is that the case? Anyways, NASCAR, talk to me. Josh from Jersey, Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth, 866-313-3733. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, Dave. By the way, I love your work on Eat 'Em and Smile. That's what's blasting out of my office right now.
Thanks.
Yeah. Listen, I don't understand why, because, you know, NASCAR is a purely southern sport, pretty much. Like, there's a few northern areas, but those aren't really the popular tracks. I really don't know that you're talking about an area around here that doesn't even have a country station that would really, like, you know, really fly too.
Okay, so you're saying that the stadium for NASCAR is in the wrong part of the country? Do you think it's not going
to
fly?
I must have to say that if you look at most of the northern stadiums for racing around here, you got the Pocono, Pennsylvania.
And how much business do they do? Aren't those popular racetracks?
Yeah, they have two races a year, but that's a whole different area. Once you go over, that's really more of in the country area. That's there's a lot of farms and everything. You know, you have the demographic available for that.
Sure.
You know, really, you know, more like, it's not really, I would say, like a high class sport. Like, I want to say like polo, but, you know, like say baseball or football or something.
Sure.
Like a big city sport. It really, you know, no one that I know talks about NASCAR. I watch NASCAR on the weekends every so often. but, you know, no one in this area that I know of really knows anything about NASCAR.
I wonder if it's going to become a growing kind of a sport with that in mind, because there's a whole lot of things going on in NASCAR that the uninitiated can't really discern. You know, half of watching NASCAR is watching the pit crews and knowing who the boss is and knowing who just changed from which team to the other, who just got fired, which crew is the best working as far as fixing the car as opposed to maintaining the car, etc. And in that sense, it starts to become a lot like football. And you pay as much attention to the owners and people who actually engineer and mechanic the car as you do the driver and the standing, etc., etc. So I think the popularity is actually skyrocketing because virtually everybody drives a car. Why is the voice, why is the singer in the band always the most popular? Because everybody plays that instrument. Why is NASCAR becoming so popular? Because everybody drives a car. Probably a little over the speed limit when you listen to Roth Radio. Go ahead, my brother.
Dave, I think a big thing is for about 4 hours on a Sunday, you got to sit around, drink beer, and watch cars go 200 miles an hour.
Well, you get to only...
Does it get better than that?
It's very easy to watch, too, because they only turn left. And plus, it's a celebration of noise. If any of you have ever been to a drag race or a tractor pull, it's animal, your part of the country is all about tractor pulls and drag races, right?
Yeah, that's what we're all about. But we never had, like, but the NASCAR thing was, it was like the crash-up derby, you know. They would go out and bang up cars. That was the closest we ever came, you know, to the... to the Indianapolis 500. But it's really fun, really noisy, and you have a good time watching everybody out there crashing their cars and stuff.
That's a big part of NASCAR, right?
Yeah.
And it's about the tailgate party. It's about the prep. Radio. You're listening to Brian Young in the background live. Swing on it. Go ahead, play it over on the screen. Yeah. Oh. One man band, track slapping, Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. The whole gang is here. And it's time of year for the Razzies, R-A-Z-Z-I-E, the Razzies. These are the worst pictures. What, the Oscars are coming up, right? The Grammys and whatnot, everything?
The announcements are today, later this morning, about 9 o'clock.
Oh, I think at 8:30 or something like that, they start announcing. But I think more appropriate for Roth Radio is the worst picture of the year. Do you got a choice for worst picture of the year? Be Young.
Not yet. I haven't seen enough.
Animal, have you seen what you would perceive to be the worst picture of the year? What do you think is going to win it? What do you think? Come on.
Probably Dukes of Hazzard, man. But it was a good movie to me, though. I liked it.
Well, yeah, obviously you liked her. But it was... I kept watching the movie hoping a plot would break out.
I was trying to key on all the moonshine stuff. Kind of remind me of home. But, you know, they could have did better. They should have let me did the moonshine scene.
You actually did drive moonshine as a kid, didn't you?
Of course.
Tell us that story, man. That's a Dukes of Hazzard story that really exists.
We used to, like, my grandmother, she used to make moonshine. She was really good at it. And me and my buddies, you know, we used to, like, run it for her.
Your grandmother? How old was she when she was making moonshine?
She started making when she was about 50, I guess.
And what part of the country was this in?
Covington County, Alabama.
That's right below Montgomery, Alabama. Yeah. Okay, I know where that is. And how old were you when you were driving moonshine?
I started driving when I was about 13 or 14 because I just learned to drive.
And you were driving a pickup truck, I take it?
Oh, no. We was driving a 57 Chevrolet, which was a station wagon. You could get more in the station wagon. Belonged to my uncle. He was my uncle, but he was my great uncle, my granddaddy's brother.
Okay.
So we used to use his ride because the whole bottom floor, it had a special plate made over. You can, like, take it off and set the moonshine on the ground and then put the plate back. If the cops pull you over, they were so stupid, they wouldn't even look under the car. And so then, like, when they take off, we would move the thing and then we'd pick the moonshine up and then we would, like, take off with it. But the way we got caught, it's like they wanted us to pull off. And we couldn't get the moonshine up in the car, so then we took off, and then they saw the moonshine, but we busted a lot of it when we pulled off.
Hold on.
We dust them off.
This was in mason jars? Did you package this up?
No, this here was in, we had some in mason jars, and we had some in, gallon milk jugs. We had it in both. Like the the country guys, they like theirs in like the milk jugs, and the city guys like theirs in the mason jar. That's how you know which one was going where.
And didn't your grandmother sell it by the shot after dark? Or what was the, what was the story with that?
Oh, man, it's like this one guy, they call him Happy Bird. He would get drunk and start preaching. That's why we called him Happy Bird. And he came by the house about 3 in the morning, wanted a po' boy, and he wanted it on credit.
What's a po' boy?
A 25-cent shot.
The last time I had White Lightning was somewhere down in Tennessee. One of the roadies had brought it in because he lived local, and you would pour it into a little Dixie cup, and if you didn't drink it fast enough,
it would melt the cup.
It would eat the wax out of the inside of the cup. It was the best. So you're saying that you saw the Dukes of Hazzard, and did the Dukes of Hazzard depict moonshining in a proper light, Animal?
Yeah, because like that's one reason why I used to watch it as a kid, because of the moonshine stuff in there. It kind of reminded me of my grandmother a lot, stuff we used to do.
And so. did Jessica Simpson remind you of your grandmother? That's what I thought.
Oh, man.
When you were growing up, was there anybody who looked remotely like Jessica Simpson in your neighborhood?
Oh, no, man. And I think it was my fifth grade teacher was real hot. Everybody liked it, her, man.
Everybody liked it, her.
Yeah.
The Dukes of Hazzard actually came in, I think it's number 5, as the worst picture. The worst picture that is listed in the Razzies. And this is
Catwoman, I think.
No, Catwoman is not listed here. It's Son of the Mask came in as the number 1. Anybody see Son of the Mask?
Nope.
There's the point. Okay, Sean, that was with the little kid, right? The little baby or whatever?
I was bored one day at school, and it was on TV. So I sat down and said, you know what? I liked the original. Why not try and watch it? It was terrible.
Now, the original had Jim Carrey
in it.
So who has an elastic face anyways,
and
right?
And Peter Green, too.
Okay, but was there any characters at all familiar in the second one?
Jamie Kennedy?
Don't know. Who knows? It's sort of like when they did Dumb and Dumber. The first one was good, and then it became Dumber and Dumber, and it was two people who kind of look, you know, like what came before. How about Deuce Bigelow? This is number 2. Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, and be very careful, because they used I'm Just a Gigolo as part of the song. They had somebody who sounds like me. I think it might have even been the comedian who imitates me that goes on the Howard Stern show. What was his name?
Billy West.
Billy what? Whatever it was. Yeah, at any rate, he sings a version of I'm Just a Gigolo or whatever. Did you actually see that movie too, Sean?
Yes, I did. I actually saw that one full out, saw the whole thing.
Okay, you are a wealth of current culture here. How was it?
I actually laughed and thought it was pretty funny, not going to lie to you.
Okay, the first one I thought was hilarious. It was really good. I have not yet seen the second one.
Yeah, I went with a few people, a few of my male friends and one female friend, and she was pretty angry with me at how hard I was laughing because she thought it was terrible.
Oh, why did she think it was terrible? Because of the nature of the jokes, or the jokes were just no good?
Probably both, but nevertheless, I was laughing.
Okay.
So.
All right. Well, would you qualify it as one of the worst pictures of the year, though?
Probably for those people's standards.
Okay.
I mean,
how about House of Wax? Paris Hilton, one of her first acting gigs, right? I'm sorry, go ahead.
I'd say that's number 1.
Number 1. Have you seen it? I have yet to see this.
I haven't seen it, and I would never would.
I would absolutely.
I'm going to treasure those 2 hours of my life.
I would absolutely sacrifice those 2 hours out of my life because it becomes like a guilty pleasure.
There was a makeout scene with her.
A makeout scene with
her? Yeah, you saw a little skin with Paris Hilton.
Okay. A makeout scene with what? You lost me there.
Some actor in the movie. She was hooking up with him on screen.
I'm curious as to if she actually could act, or was she just being Paris? Because
she was Paris.
We've seen her draping on a boat, you know, in whatever picture that was, you know. But I don't know if she actually took acting lessons. Is this the old Vincent Price House of Wax kind of a thing? Is it the same story?
No, I don't think so.
It's not the same story.
No, way out of line.
Okay. Dirty Love. Anybody got a vibe on what that is? Jenny McCarthy made a movie that was supposedly the worst movie of all time. And this was just on Ebert and Roper, and they were doing the worst movies of all time. Jenny McCarthy, go ahead and dial her up on the internet there, because she wrote, directed, and starred in what they claimed was the worst movie of the year. See if you guys can dig that up here.
It's got to be a sci-fi movie.
I got the plot summary for Dirty Love you're talking about right now, right?
What is Dirty Love? Who's the star of that one?
Jenny McCarthy.
Ooh, so I'm right on the money here.
Says here, IMDb.com,
modern-day Cinderella story. She's disaster-prone Rebecca, which is Jenny McCarthy, embarks on her outrageous and hilarious journey in search of true love, betrayed by her boyfriend, follows a palm reader, psychic, prophecy.
Cool girl.
She goes in search for true love.
Don't we all?
Again, I'll save those 2 hours of my life.
Let's get somebody to buy this video. Let's get the DVD of Dirty Love, because if it comes from Ropert and Ebert, or however you call it, because they gave it 2 thumbs down, and that's pretty rare. I'm very curious as to how this
We can take a look at the trailer right here.
Do you have the trailer?
Yeah, it's right here.
Well, let's watch the trailer on radio. Let me step around here on the side. All right, here we go. Spin it up. Let's take a look. This is the trailer for Dirty Love. We're watching Jenny McCarthy's thing. Go ahead, spin it on there. This is supposed to be the worst movie of all time here. You got it?
That was jiggly.
Even the ad looks terrible. He's dialing porno up there. Don't tell me you're doing research. You and Peter Townsend. Roth Radio. I'm David Lee Roth. 866-313-3733. If you have a vote that we're not naming here, the worst actor. Curious. Who do you think is the worst actor? Because I have the list right here, and this is the top guy for the worst actor, but he's also the number one earning, number one guy for earning everything, too. I think, can you guess? It's Tom Cruise. I don't think he's the worst actor. I don't know. What's the last couple of movies that he made? War of the Worlds or whatever?
Yeah, I think it's War of the World.
That was not a bad movie. It was a lot of screaming. And didn't Dakota Fanning just get out of rehab before that? Here comes the ghost of Spielberg and his attorneys, huh?
Dog Vader at the door.
He's got Mission Impossible 3 coming out pretty soon, too.
Mission Impossible 3?
Yeah.
I didn't know they made number 2.
Oh, wait.
Well,
what is that?
They just finished actually shooting that right around Christmas time. I know my friend Lawrence Fishburne, I believe, was involved in that. That's going to be an interesting one. Also, number 2, Rob Schneider, worst actor, Deuce Bigelow, European Gigolo, and then you got Son of the Mask. Okay, these all work. But worst actress, here she is, number 1, Jenny McCarthy. What television show is she doing? She's like at the Palms Hotel, and she's like living at the hotel, and she does interviews with the starless. Have you seen this on the TV, Animal?
No, I hadn't seen that.
Are you a Jenny McCarthy fan?
Yeah, kind of, sort of.
How did she start off? As a Playboy model or a VJ?
MTV.
And as a VJ, yeah. Right?
She was on that show, Singled Out.
Okay.
And then she got into Playboy and...
Did she do her Playboy centerfold? Was she actually a centerfold or just a pictorial?
Centerfold, I believe.
Yeah, I think she was a centerfold.
Okay. I've got a lot of respect for Jenny because she's got a great sense of humor. She does this really bad acting, but she loves it.
What do you mean she loves it?
Well, you can see she's kind of getting into it, and she expresses her own sense of humor through it. I just think she gets into being really bad.
I think that
she likes being bad.
I find Jenny McCarthy really transparent. I find her really false in terms of her general hilarity, and her enthusiasm strikes me as manufactured. Because she always has that look like she's a little tense, and she's always watching around to see what the result is. Somebody who doesn't know any better and doesn't care might be Anna Nicole Smith. So let's head. I would graft House of Wax. Let's graft Anna Nicole Smith's personality onto Jenny McCarthy's frame here. Okay, Jessica Alba. Worst actress, number 2 for Fantastic Four and Into the Blue. I know what Fantastic Four is, but what was Into the Blue? Have you seen that? Do you know what that storyline is? What is that?
Basically, you know, they find some kind of treasure buried in the ocean, and her and who's the guy from, Sean, you know, from Fast and Furious?
At any rate, I think I've seen the ads for that.
Yeah, basically, they go going for the treasure, and other people are, like, blackmailing them. And
I'd be looking for
her in a bathing suit. It's good.
Exactly. Yeah. I'll look for the buried treasure in Jessica Alba. Maybe I'll be the buried treasure. Hilary Duff. I couldn't pick her out of a crowd. Who is Hilary Duff? She's the singer, right?
Yeah.
And what does she do? Go ahead.
She was on the Disney Channel. She had
Stop.
A
How do you Disney know? Channel. Stop.
This is that student population.
How does he know all of this garbage? I'm impressed.
I was in high school when she was on the Disney Channel.
What was that? 2 weeks ago?
No, a few years. Come on. Yeah, I'm 20 now. Come on. You got to give me a few years here.
Don't tell me. Sixth grade, 1982 through 87. So Hilary Duff, what is her song? Do you know the name of the song?
Oh, the song. I have no idea. She was in a
Stop
movie.
Stop stop lying.
I don't know. I swear.
He's got the album at home.
Oh, yeah. But she's in Cheaper by the Dozen.
Yeah, that's what it is. Cheaper by the Dozen 2 and The Perfect Man. Jennifer Lopez, Monster in Law. Animal, want to speak to that?
Oh, man. I saw a little bit of Monster in Law, but I really didn't like it. I just like the movie like The Sale. Now, that was one of my great movies that she done.
Which movie was that?
It was called The Sale.
The Sale was about what? S-A-L-E, you mean?
Yeah. It's like science fiction. You know, she had to go into this rubber suit to go into this other kid's mind, man, to see what made him so crazy. And all the stuff inside his head was really like something I would create. And I loved it.
Okay. No. All right. Yeah. So you're talking about Jennifer Lopez. She can't do any wrong by you as long as her butt, as long as her tush is facing
the
camera.
What does she look like again, you say? I never seen a face.
You've never actually paid attention. You have seen it. Justin is calling us from Philadelphia. Give me your dirty love. 866-313-3733. Justin, talk to me. You're on.
What's going on, man?
You, brother.
Great show. I saw that movie Dirty Love, and there's this one scene in it that is, the movie was horrible, but this one scene makes the whole movie worthwhile. It's Jenny McCarthy. Carmen Electra's in this scene too, because she's in the movie. And she gets, she goes on this date with this guy, right? And the guy ends up throwing up all over her. And, because I don't know, for some reason he throws up all over her. Well, then she's walking out of the place, and she gets so angry that she rips her, the top of her dress off, and she just starts shaking her, you know what, her cans all over the place.